Well, good morning, and thanks for joining us. And my topic for this morning is, who am I in Christ? Now, this is something that for my life has been something that has given me freedom to be who I am. It's helped me be who Christ wants me to be. Obviously, as a work in progress, but God, in his grace, in Christ, I am something totally different, not just in a physical way, in a spiritual way, but also my future in Christ is already taken place. Now, that's difficult for us to understand, but hopefully with some of these Bible verses that we're going to be looking at, we'll be able to understand it a bit better. And there are a couple of verses that I just want to highlight. One of those is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, where it says, "You have been bought with a high price, so honour God with your body." And the other one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 23, which says that God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. And the Apostle Paul was, obviously very aware and where what slaves were all about. And we learn that we are bought with a high price. But in Roman times, the decision on the slave's future lay solely in the hands of the purchaser. It had nothing to do with the slave. He had no say whatsoever in anything. His whole life, every decision that he made, the way that he lived, what he did, laid solely on the purchaser of that the slave. Paul isn't short or weak when he refers to himself and how he's been liberated or bought or purchased from sin and what it cost him. "I have been crucified with Christ," he says. "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. Paul's aware that he has not yet received the resurrection in his physical body. We know that he still struggled. Have a read of Romans chapter 5. He still struggled with his sin. He hadn't got there yet physically, but spiritually he had. He'd been resurrected. He'd been crucified, with Christ. Already crucified, already gained everything in Christ, and yet he'll struggle with sin. He knows he's not perfect in his physical body, and he knows that he is purchased and he is owned. He's a slave and he belongs to Christ. His opening words actually in the book of Romans are, "Paul, a slave of Christ, called as an apostle and singled out for the good news." And in Philippians 3:12, 1 Corinthians 6:19 as well, you can take a look at them and read it there. But Paul knew his whole life, everything about him was sold out for Jesus Christ. He was a slave for Christ. But it's not a slavery that was forced on him, and this is the great difference, because when we're talking about the Roman slaves, most Romans, I think if my figures are right, it was 1 in 3 Romans had a slave, and that slave would satisfy the Roman in every way, shape, or form. I mean, they were there for everything, and I mean everything. Paul gave himself as a slave to Christ. He chose Christ instead of the life that he'd once lived. And we know very popular verses to us, Romans 8 verse 1 and 2, "I am free from condemnation." Those who are in Christ, they are free from condemnation. Well, I mean, what about then those that are not in Christ? Because it's only in Christ that we are free from condemnation. Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10 says that "I am complete in Christ." The work is already done. The work is finished. We are in Christ. So, I mean, when God looks down, I like to visualize him looking down and seeing that everybody there is, for the believer, he or she is in Christ. Now, sometimes I can sin and I can do things wrong, and I can start feeling guilty, and I can be my own worst critic. But when I pick up the Bible and I see that I am in Christ, you know, and I struggle, I mean, there's a war going on in my mind, It's just a huge argument. It's like there's two people in there. But I am in Christ, and that's why the war is taking place. Am I living as Christ would require me to live? Colossians 3 verse 1 to 4 talks about being hidden with Christ in God. We are hidden. Those things in our life, those things that we may have done, all gone. They are hidden in Christ. They've been paid for. They've been taken. They've been laid aside, no longer counted against us. And finding ourselves in Christ, I mean, I'm only touching the iceberg. I'm just saying what I feel. I mean, it's just such an encouragement to me that I am in Christ. I'm not sure how I could live this life on earth not knowing that I was in Christ and found to be clean and cleansed of all those things that I'd done, and you know, these desires and these thoughts that I still get sometimes, but I'm in Christ. So in Christ, I can choose the right way to live. Outside of Christ, you've got no chance. You just can't do it, because we haven't got the power to do it in our sinful nature. But in the nature of Christ, we can. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, I am royalty. Now, I went, you might have heard of the Rainbow of Hope, Elizabeth Perez Atkins, and I used to go and speak to the homeless people there. And I was in a church one day, and all of the homeless people there and the needy people, you know, and this student walks in, and he seen I was looking probably just a little bit different to everybody else. And he walked over and he said, oh, excuse me, could you point me to somebody who's priestly, please? And I said, oh, I'm a priest. And he went, looked me up and down. He said, oh, perhaps I'll call back. So, but I am a priest. You are a priest if you are in Christ. We are his chosen people. You know, it's not about the way that we feel. We are in Christ. We've got to get that within ourselves. You know, but how do people know that we are in Christ? How do people know that we belong to Jesus Christ? It means that you don't get to pick on those rights and wrongs of morality. You know, we don't think, I mean, particularly today with the great problems we have with gender, we don't get to choose what's right and wrong. It's in the Bible. Let's look in the Bible to see. And it's not down to interpretation, because it's in black and white. You know, you look at the Torah law. Look at Romans chapter 1. Look at, I think it's 1 Corinthians 7. Galatians. It's there in black and white for us to see. So we don't get to make our choice. In Christ, it's his way and God's word that we choose. There's no choice. That is it. That is the price. So there is a price of being a believer. Being in Christ means you don't get the privilege of doing what you want, how you want, and if you want. Galatians 3, 27, 28. No, we don't. We live as Christ wants us to live. There is a cost. In Christ, my identity has changed, and I'm no longer who I was. The same as you. If you were in Christ, you are no longer who you were. You know, we don't get to make those decisions of morality and the way that we should live. They are set out before us in the scriptures. It tells us how we should live, how we should be in Christ. Charles Finney, a revivalist of the mid-1800s, said this: there's a great difference between the peace of the power of the Holy Spirit in the soul. The disciples were Christians before the day of Pentecost, and as such had a measure of the Holy Spirit. They must have had the peace of sins forgiven and of a justified state, yet they did not have the power necessary to accomplish the work assigned to them. They had the peace which Christ had given them, but not the power which he had promised. This may be true of all Christians, and right here is, I think, the greatest mistake of the church and of the ministry. They rest in conversion and do not seek until they obtain this heavenly empowering. In Christ, we are not just saved. We are not just have that way paved for us and the Holy Spirit working within us, but we have that power for the Holy Spirit to work out of us as well, because we are in Christ. We have the power to give it to others. When I speak those words to people, they are words of affirmation. People, we make a difference with what we say to others, particularly when we speak about our children. You know, when we look at what is it in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, train a child up in the way that they should go, and they won't stray from the path. Now, I know there are a couple of different interpretations for that Bible verse, but some say that if you raise a child up in the way of the Lord, then they won't stray from you. In other words, they'll always remain in the way, on the path. But we know that that's not true. What this is, I believe, and this is, you know, probably the most widely used interpretation, is that you look for those gifts, you see the gifts within that child, and you train that child in those ways with that gift. In other words, who am I? Teach me who I am. Spiritually, if you don't have Christ, that's when you feel lacking, because you only find fullness in Christ. There are two things I've done in my life that have changed the way that I am as a man, as a person. The first one is I do. That changed my life. Goodness me. The thought, a lifelong training program, nearly 25 years and still on it, and I think I'm doing okay. You know, and thank God every day for Fiona, pray for my marriage, because I know what I'm like. But that's one of the things I've done. And the second thing I've done is ask Jesus into my heart and said, yes, Lord, I believe. It was then that my life, and like you, you know, if you know Jesus, when you chose to put your life in your trust in Christ, you became a new person. Not that you felt a new person. At that time, you might not have looked a new person. We're still those works that have been completed on earth. But in a spiritual sense, it's finished. It's already done. Jesus has already done it. It is finished. We are complete in him. You will not find who you are in anything or anybody else. You are made in the image of God. And when we were made in the image of God, he did not make us lacking. He made us complete. And that is what Jesus Christ restored by his death on the cross. It is finished. And John 15 verse 5 says this: I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine, and the channel of his life. I remember once I was, I carried the cross, and I was going across London Bridge, and Colin Jackson was there, you know, the runner. Well, he was a hurdler, wasn't he, from Cardiff. And somebody came over to me and said, and I had the cross with me, you know, huge cross. And he said, Colin Jackson's just over there. If you go over to him, he'll give you an interview. I said, OK. So I went over. I said, hiya, Colin. He said, hello. He said, so what appertained you to do this then? And I said, well, Colin, I came to the conclusion that there are many well worthwhile charities being supported in the London Marathon. And I wanted to support the person who changed me. And he said, oh, and who was that? I said, it was Jesus. And he went, he had the mic, and he went, oh, well, don't let me stop you. See, he didn't expect to find me in Christ. He was expecting me to find me in something, maybe in a charity, in looking for attention, in something else, you know, in some kind of feat. That, no, I am in Christ. And that is the message that I had to bring, but he didn't want it. And yeah, I see him sometimes at the Cardiff Half Marathon, but there we go. So I've got about just over 10 minutes left of the message, or the talk. But I just wanted to play this song for you by Casting Crowns, Who Am I? Really moving song, you probably know it, but I just thought, just to break things up a little bit, just listen to these words and receive from Christ while you listen to this song.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. That calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours.
Two very important words that I have learned for my own children and towards others is you are. Now, those two words have been used in a negative way in my life in the past. You are. You are a waste of space and you'll amount to nothing. You are nothing but trouble. You are good for nothing. Those things, you know, that those negative affirmations to put in there, they can last a lifetime. Well, in Christ, we make the choice whether we're going to choose to carry those things or not. Now, I'm not saying I perfected it, but what I have learned is to take what people say, because I'm in Christ, I take what people say and I weigh it up. And I say, I check it out and say, okay, you know, is what this person said to me from Christ? Because if this person is in Christ, then it should be an affirmation. And our brothers and sisters can come and say something to us in love, which is not negative, but it's there, it's being said to build us, even though it might be pointing out a fault or maybe something in our lives. All these negative comments and positive comments build me up or tear me down, but they contribute to who we are in Christ. A question every sound-minded person will ask themselves at some point in their lives is, who am I? Freedom in Christ is not freedom to do what you like. It's freedom not to do those things that you can't help doing. That sinful nature within us, that sinful nature outside of Christ. Being in Christ means, no, I don't need to do those things. I don't need those things, let's put it, of the world to make me who I am. Mark chapter 8, Jesus asks the very same question. Jesus said to him, to his disciples, as they left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, who do people say I am? Now, it's like a twofold question here, because Jesus obviously knows what people are saying about him, but it's the second part of the question, which is very interesting. And they turned around and they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, another say you're one of the other prophets. Then Jesus turned around to them and said, but who do you say I am? And Peter replied, you are the Messiah. Now, they are words of affirmation. I'm not saying that Jesus needed that affirmation, but I bet you that Jesus' spirit was lifted and encouraged as Peter put that on him. I realize you are the Messiah. I mean, incredible. And then in verse 31 of Mark 8, it says, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. So now, whereas Peter in one hand is saying, yes, you are the Messiah, you're the one we're waiting for, you are he, now on the other hand he's saying, hang on a minute, you know, this isn't going to happen to you, we won't allow it to happen to you. But Jesus turns around, realizing and knowing this negative affirmation that's coming, because Jesus knows who he is. He says, Jesus turned around to look at his disciples and reprimanded Peter. Get away from me, Satan, he said. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Now, he says it's from a human point of view, and yet he says, get away from me, Satan. Well, because what's happening is Peter is creating a spiritual atmosphere of negativity. He's taking away from who Christ is. He's speaking against, unknowingly I gather, against who Christ is. And Jesus was not going to have that, because he knew who he was in God. Freedom is, under the grace of God, to choose what I should do. Being a slave means to be held captive, to be a prisoner, or have no choice in the matter or action, no control over yourself. John MacArthur writes this, in saving us from slavery to sin, God initiated and accomplished everything. Were it not for his purposeful intervention, we would still be helpless in bondage to sin. But we are not in bondage to sin any longer. In closing, I just want to read this that has really encouraged me. I don't know whether you've ever heard it, but this is what it says. Once there was an emperor in the Far East who was growing old, and he knew it was coming time to choose his successor. Instead of choosing one of his assistants or one of his own children, he decided to do something different. He called all the young people in the kingdom together one day. He said, it has come time for me to step down and to choose the next emperor. I've decided to choose one of you. The kids were shocked, but the emperor continued, I am going to give each one of you a seed today. One seed. It's a very special seed. I want you to go home, plant the seed, water it, and come back here 1 year from today. with what you have grown from this seed. I will then judge the plants that you bring to me, and the one I choose will be the next emperor of the kingdom." Well, there was one boy named Ling who was there that day, and he, like the others, received the seed. He went home and excitedly told his mother the whole story. She helped him get a pot and some planting soil, and he planted the seed and watered it carefully. Every day he would water it and watch to see if it had grown. After about 3 weeks, some of the other youths began to talk about their seeds and the plants that they were beginning to grow. Ling kept going home and checking his seed, but nothing ever grew. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks went by, and still nothing. By now the others were talking about their plants, but Ling didn't have a plant, and he felt like a failure. 6 months went by, still nothing in Ling's pot. He just knew he had killed the seed. Everyone else had trees and tall plants, but he had nothing. Ling didn't say anything to his friends, however. He just kept waiting for his seed to grow. A year finally went by, and all the youths of the kingdom brought their plants to the emperor for inspection. Ling told his mother that he wasn't going to take an empty pot, but she encouraged him to go and to take his pot and to be honest about what happened. Ling felt sick to the stomach, but he trusted in his mother was right. He took his empty pot to the palace. When Ling arrived, he was amazed at the variety of plants grown by all the other youths. They were beautiful in all shapes and sizes. Ling put his empty pot on the floor, and many of the other kids laughed at him. He felt sorry for him and just said, "Hey, nice try." When the emperor arrived, he surveyed the room and greeted the young people. Ling just tried to hide at the back. "My, what great plants, trees and flowers you've grown," said the emperor. "Today one of you will be appointed the next emperor." All of a sudden, the emperor spotted Ling at the back of the room with his empty pot. He ordered his guards to bring him to the front. Ling was terrified. "The emperor knows I'm a failure. Maybe he'll have me killed," thought Ling. When Ling got to the front, the emperor asked his name. "My name is Ling," he replied. All the kids were laughing and making fun of him. The emperor asked everyone to quiet down. He looked at Ling and then announced to the crowd, "Behold your new emperor. His name is Ling." Ling couldn't believe it. Ling couldn't even grow a seed. How could he be the new emperor? Then the emperor said, "One year ago today, I gave everyone here a seed. I told you to take the seed, plant it, water it, and bring it back to me today. But I gave you all boiled seeds, which would not grow. All of you except Ling have brought me trees and plants and flowers. When you found that the seed would not grow, you substituted another seed for the one I gave you." Ling was the only one with the courage and honesty to bring me a pot with my seed in it. Therefore, he is the one who will become your new emperor. In Christ, we are God's children. We make ourselves slaves to Christ because we want to, because we are in him. When we're in Christ, we know that God doesn't change, but the way that he does things do. But one thing that doesn't change is that when we are in Christ, we are already made brand new. We have already reached the mark. We are already his children. We already belong to him because he has bought us. He's paid the price. We are no longer condemned, but in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. I pray, Lord, that the words that I have spoken will speak to those that are listening and speak to me, Lord, will they already have. Lord, continue making us, we pray, into the people you want us to be. And Father, thank you that the work is finished, that we are already in you. We are already made complete in you. Father, we bless you, we thank you and lift you up. And this morning, Lord, we want you to know that we love you and we treasure you. You're our number one, Lord. Lord, teach us your ways. Teach us to live our life in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.